Ellen Hopkins is known for her no-holds-barred approach to tackling tough issues facing today's teens, including drug addiction, depression, mental illness, prostitution, pregnancy, sexual abuse, PTSD, and now guns. People Kill People is one of the only books that addresses head-on gun proliferation and easy access to firearms in the United States. Ellen, welcome once again to KYMN and 15 with the Author.
Well, thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. And tell us first about your own experience with guns. I'd like to get that out of the way before we start this.
Right, yeah. No, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I grew up with guns. My father, anyway, had guns. He was a hunter. He collected guns and traded them with friends, so there were guns in the house. Most of them, I rarely saw them, and that's the truth. But every now and again, he would pull them out. You know, I would watch him go hunting or on a couple of occasions. And I call my dad a weekend alcoholic. Mm. So he, like, from church Sunday till Friday night, he never touched a drop. But from Friday night till church Sunday, he was pretty much wasted. And on two occasions in the periods like that, I saw him put a loaded gun up to my mom's head. So that kind of stuck with me as a kid.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. I mean, I used to target shoot, and I enjoyed it, but I have kids in my house, and I just have chosen not to keep guns with kids in my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my own experience with my own father, who would occasionally hunt deer, but no big deal. It was one time, I remember just once, when my father had some alcohol, and he normally didn't drink, but my brother was an addict, and my dad was so angry, he loaded the rifle and told me to get in the car with him because we were going to go hunt my brother's drug dealer.
Oof.
Yeah. We didn't, but yeah. I want to say right from the start, you really grabbed the reader with this one, quote, collective human call toward violence. And violence is the narrator.
Yep. I wanted to move into kind of an omniscient space and to really think about this idea of violence as a seducer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe that, you know, every single human being, and probably a lot of animals as well, have a place inside them that can get tapped into where violence can just erupt.
Mm-hmm.
And put a gun in their hands at that time, and I mean, it leads to like the kind of things that we're seeing in the news daily now.
And I think it's so fascinating because really, when you think about it, and those are the questions that you start out with in this book is, you know, have you ever thought of this? Have you? And, you know, how many times have we said, oh, I could just strangle you, you know?
Indeed.
And those, so it really grasps the reader and makes us think, could you, would you? Bringing the reader from the days of clubbing each other to gunpowder brings this line, people kill people, guns just make it easier.
That's correct. And it's really the only pushback I've gotten so far in the book, and it's been out about 3 weeks now,
mm-hmm.
was from a reader who's like, she's all about gun control, and she would like to outlaw all guns in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was mad because she didn't like the title, which, you know, when you just get that phrase, that can dismiss this idea of gun violence and gun control and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, did you read the book, though? And she hadn't read the book. I'm like, well, you have to get past the title of a book to, you know,
right,
decide what's in it, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very important point, is that people need to go take a step further. Just that frosting on the top is not getting into the story. It's not getting into the real meat of the issues. Tell us about Zane, because I read the first part and he's losing touch with reality, and seeing jihadists everywhere.
Right, and so the book, the main characters in the book are six kind of older teens, all of whom have different reasons why they might pick up a gun. But for a teen to be able to get hold of a gun is going to take probably extraordinary circumstances like a second party gun sale or private party gun sale. Mm-hmm. So Zane is the person who, the person that gets the gun from, buys it from. And he is an older man. He lost a son in Desert Storm, and he's kind of, his dementia has kind of like grown out of that space. So that anytime he sees somebody that looks like they might be a Middle Eastern or whatever, he then he thinks that they're jihadists. And so, and his neighborhood is kind of closing in around him. So he buys the gun new for protection from who he sees as punks in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, there's, and I want folks to read the book, so I don't want to give too much of information specifically about the book, what's going on in it, because I think it's a really important read in that it's, it from that point, a teenager does get the gun because of how easy it is to get access when it is that second party, when I have friends that go to gun shows, and even a good friend of mine who is a hunter says it's too easy.
Well, I agree, and it's like in Nevada, and Nevada is an interesting space as far as politics. I mean, there's, you know, like the Las Vegas area is very kind of liberal, but the rural counties are very conservative. But still, three-quarters of the voters in this state 2 years ago passed a law that we want deep background checks for second-party, private-party gun sales, gun show sales, and we passed the law. And we reached across the aisle here because what I can see is that it doesn't matter, you know, where you are on that political spectrum. I think we all want a safer space for our kids and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that we can do without, you know, without defeating the Second Amendment, that can certainly make us all a little bit safer, and that's one of the things, red flag laws. So where domestic, people convicted of domestic violence can't buy guns, those kind of things, you know, limit on ammunition sale, you know, those, there's simple things that could at least mitigate some of this really horrific damage we're seeing in this country.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I was talking to my niece, who is a liberal Democrat. She's also a doctor, and her and I got into a conversation about this with mental health background checks. And I said, you know, I think that's a great idea. And she said, I don't. And it was shocking to me. And I said, well, can you explain that to me? And because of doctor-patient privacy.
Right.
And just because this person did this doesn't mean they do that. And I'm like, wow, okay, we're getting in deep. You know, what? How do you work that out? And I do believe that there are ways to work that through.
Right.
But as you say, it's coming across the aisles, it's talking to each other, and it's having a larger group sit down and discuss these ways. I have to ask you, how did you weave these storylines? And you've also got race and privilege and the white supremacist movement as a part of this, and that's a lot, and you have always a lot in your books. what is your research like as well?
Well, a lot of the kind of loner kids, the ones that you sometimes, that we too often see in the news again, you know, as going in and doing school shootings or going into a church and shooting it up, they tend to be kids that are on the fringe, and this white supremacist movements, they pull in, they draw in these kids that are way out on the fringe like that. Because kids want to find a place to belong, right?
Right.
So if that's the only space they can find to belong, then they usually embrace the philosophy that comes along with it pretty wholeheartedly. So they do are inspired often by these groups, these hate groups, and it gives them a place not only to fit in, but also a place to kind of, I don't know, let their hate, let their own kind of anger erupt. Mm-hmm. And so it can fuel something really terrible.
Yeah. We are speaking with Ellen Hopkins. She's the author of People Kill People, Guns Just Make It Easier. Do the characters lead you, or do you lead the characters?
They always lead me. They never stop talking to me. You know, I wake up and they're yapping at me. So, but with this, because I chose to do it in second person. So mm-hmm. I'm inviting the reader onto the page to become to slip into the skin is how I term it in the book, to slip into the skins of these characters so they can really live like them, being addressed by the voice of violence. So I'm talking as the voice of violence to you, not to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I want it to be a really personal experience. I want you to be able to feel what they're feeling and to kind of have some understanding, because I think that's how we get to, like, how we can maybe see somebody and think that, let's see if, you know, that's somebody that we should be talking to or talking about, or, you know,
right.
Maybe that could be a problem in the making there. And I think by inviting you to become kind of these troubled kids, that maybe you can have a feeling about what it looks like or how it feels.
And I think that's what I was getting from your book, as well as I went further into it, is that you get a sense of empathy for these characters in the book as well, because you've drawn us into their skin.
Right, and I think it's important that we do that. I mm-hmm. mean, nobody's all good and nobody's all bad, you know, and
right.
you know, and I say that all the time, and evil isn't like born, it's something that's created. So, you know, how do we figure out how it's being created in people that we see, or, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting. These are interesting times. I will say that.
Boy, that's
but again, it's opening dialogues and how do we have the conversation without yelling at each other or making each other angry, and mm-hmm. you know, because we need to solve these problems, and they're not going to go away on their own.
No, they're not. And do you see a way to do that? I mean, how do you see your book playing a role in that conversation?
I want you to understand the motivations for gun violence, and there are at least six in here, and probably a few more than six. But by understanding the motivation behind it, I think that's a way that we can, again, kind of at least slow it down some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for young people especially, and again, I get to, like, these kids that are out on the edges, on the fringes, you know, and the reasons that they have to hurt people, if we can just learn to recognize them sooner rather than later, I think, again, we can solve some of this stuff.
And what do you say to, because I also have friends that are police officers, and, you know, when people are saying, well, disarm the police officers and do these things, they're just like, oh, no, no. And then we've got, you know, people saying, you'll never take my gun from my cold, dead hand or whatever. Trying to find that balance.
Right. And I don't think, I mean, there's no way we can get rid of all the guns that there are in this
no.
country. I mean, we'd have to, everybody would have to be on that page. And obviously we're not.
Right.
But again, if we can make sure that guns are, you know, that we are looking at who's buying them, can limit the size of magazines, can think about maybe what kind of extra checks we might want to do for, like, an assault-style weapon. Those are small steps, but there'd be some steps. Insurance, registration, make sure that you have to, like, take classes to own a gun. I mean, those kind of things, at least we know that you're not going to be making mistakes with them, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I have to ask you, too, how do you take care of yourself as you write your books? You really seem to be inhabited by them.
Well, I always like to say I channel my characters. I don't become them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, my editor is even like, she goes, you better put the disclaimer in there that they're like, their views do not reflect your own. And I'm like, okay, I'll put the disclaimer in. I would hope people would know that, but maybe they wouldn't.
Yeah, you never know.
But you do have to, like, I feel like they write their stories through me. So I spend a lot of time in creating them, kind of really learning who they are, where they come from, you know, what their lives are like, and what might motivate them to pick up a gun in this case. And then I let them just kind of tell their stories through my fingers.
Yeah, it is amazing. Ellen Hopkins is the author. The book is People Kill People, Guns Just Make It Easier. It's, you know, it's for young adults, but I'm invested in this book to finish reading it. I didn't get to all of that because, as you know, we had some storms and some things going on here in the studios. But we so appreciate your time. And I love the way you write. And it's interesting because the very first time I talked to you, this is the third book I've interviewed you for. And the first time I looked at it, I thought, it's all verse. Oh, man, this is going to be hard to interview you, to be honest. And it's not. I love the way you write, and I love the voices that you bring and the issues that you are unafraid to speak out about.
Well, thank you so much, and I plan to keep doing it. So, but I would love for parents to read this book with their kids.
Yeah.
Because I think, then again, then they can have the dialogue with their kids, and then they can discuss their kids' fears. And you know, our kids, they're experiencing things now that we never experienced. But I didn't, even with my first set of kids, I never thought about anybody shooting up schools. But you know, this is something kids live with daily, and those kind of fears are best addressed by talking about them.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you when you don't talk about things, the things that happen inside your head are generally far worse.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ellen, thank you again for your time. The book People Kill People, it's a wonderful book because of the way it's written, the subject matter, and these times. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. That was great.